Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to the heavens, really, to the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of this difficult life. And today we're talking about how to navigate the incredibly, insanely difficult journey of marriage.
Thanks a lot.
But it is difficult, right? I mean,
it's very, very difficult, right?
It's been among the greatest joys of my life, but you know, you have to be honest. It's two sinners in close proximity. And if you understand marriage properly, and you know, it's a permanent thing.
It is a permanent thing. And it's interesting that you talk about that, because what immediately came to mind is, as I was growing up, I have an aunt and uncle who have a very strong marriage, not perfect.
Yeah.
But you always knew that wherever you saw Tina, Abby would be close by. Wherever Abby was, there was Tina. There was never any thought that they wouldn't always be together. You know, they were in their imperfections, in their love for one another and family. They were completely given over to their marriage. It was I just knew they were always going to make it. And it's interesting, but I thought they were just the lucky ones when I was growing up, because everywhere around me, there was divorce.
Yeah,
divorce after divorce after divorce. And I just thought, well, Tina and Abby are just the lucky ones. Everybody else is just destined to be, you know, train wrecked. And so it led us, you and I, when we first got married, and I was just talking to our daughter about this. We went on pilgrimage together, that, you know, it led us to sit down with our kids when we were first married and say, you know, the scourge of divorce, this generational brokenness on your side, my side, our side is over with us. We are not going to pass on. We're not going to capitulate to this spirit and continue to perpetuate this brokenness in your lives. And we want you to know that we love you and we love each other and we're committed to eradicating this. So, you know, we just hope that by this retreat, by these teachings that we offer through this marriage retreat, that we can help others to eradicate it as well.
And just for our listeners, what Stephanie's talking about is, we're in the midst of a series of shows on a lot of the material we cover in our in-person retreat.
Yeah, it's just a foretaste of the completeness of it.
Our next one, depending on when you're listening to the show, you can always find when our next retreats of any kind are. Men's retreats, Icon Retreat, January 19th, Men's Retreat, December 6th on Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits. But our next Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreat is in Tucson on February 13th through the 15th. And we're excited to get going there. And it's quite remarkable how many couples have already registered for that. So
yeah, it fills so quickly. Mm-hmm. So if you hear this just in the next few months, get moving.
Yeah, and even if you hear it later, there'll always be another one. There'll be another one scheduled. So in our last conversation together about this, we talked about our own testimonies and what brought us together, our brokenness, and then what brought us together. And I think the chair was the last thing we discussed, which was my recognition that if I was going to be married, I needed someone who would have as their focal point as to who they are supposed to be, Jesus, right? And I needed the same. It's funny, I was just led a pilgrimage with Dr. Lois and Dr. Holcroft in Italy, a pilgrimage in formation for our priestly spiritual direction program. We had 27 priests with us. And, you know, I told him that I discerned that I was too messed up to be a priest, to be, because I had discerned that when I first became Catholic, I was single, and that I was not capable of being functional by myself. So I needed a woman, of course, and I needed one, not just any woman. I needed one who was ready to say, be all in for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that my road ahead was hard, but just my own road, just, you know, it's, you know, you can judge people by a lot of different measures. And I remember reading in C.S. Lewis, he talked about how he was arguing for the existence of God through the testimony of people who had been changed. And he said, it's easy to judge based on some arbitrary standard if God is real based on how holy they are, you know. And he says, you can't really do that because you don't know how, this is my translation, you don't know how deep a hole they came out of. Right. So if they came out of a 100-foot hole, you know, being barely functional is a huge progress, you know. If they came out of a 10-foot hole, maybe they should have a halo by the time they're 50, I don't know. But I came out of a pretty deep hole, and so I knew that I had a long way to go, but I knew it would require, just for someone to be able to survive me. That, I mean, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Because I'm very strong-willed, very, very intense, you know, and not that those things are bad. They have to be tempered by prudence and love. And
yeah.
But I knew I needed a woman who
could withstand the storm and just, not break.
Just the storm of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just to withstand the storms of life and not break. Right. You know, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Right. We're just so very graced in that. Yeah. And you know, I was thinking how beautiful it is that, you know, that we ended the last show on the chair. And every morning, without fail, I know where you're going to be and you know where I am.
Well, that's a big deal.
And that is that the first thing that we do every morning at the crack of dawn, well, before the crack of dawn, in
hours
the middle,
before, actually.
Hours before, right? If I go looking for Dan, I know that he will be in his prayer chair.
Yeah.
If he goes looking for me, he will find me in the dark in my prayer chair before my sacred space as well, mm-hmm. You know, and what a profound gift that is, that we know for certain where we'll be.
Yeah. You
know, that everything for the Lord begins before the Lord on our knees.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just frankly, one, you can't get to heaven without mental prayer. I'm not the only one who said this. Of course, several doctors of the church have said it. Teresa of Avila said that if you don't practice mental prayer, you'll need no devils to drag you into hell. You'll do it yourself. And why is that? Why is it important to marriage? Because, one, you cannot be an authentic follower of a person you never talk to. Mm-hmm. You cannot be an authentic believer in one. No, you cannot be an authentic worshiper of one whom you give no space to in your life,
yeah.
Except for maybe on Sunday. And even for those who get to go to daily mass, you know, daily mass can be mass in general can be an external activity.
Yeah.
Jesus railed against the Pharisees whose external activities were all actually good, mm-hmm. in terms of orthodoxy, if you will, for the Jews of that time, but they had no heart. And he mm-hmm. was even concerned about this with his own disciples. He spoke to them over and over about this issue of intimacy with him, about him saying, I don't know you. There were 10 virgins. There were these, you know, folks who cast out demons and did all of this in his name and acknowledged him and all of that. And he said, I don't know who you are.
Right. Right.
Which is this call to intimacy. And so when we come to know him and come to union with him to a greater or lesser degree, we are changed by that encounter. Mm-hmm. And and unless we're ready to do that, we're not even ready to be authentic disciples, let alone
try to be proper husbands and wives, really,
right.
You know,
yeah.
to do right by the Lord. And, you know, we were kind of, you know, musing on how you needed a woman that could withstand the storms, mm-hmm. the storms of your brokenness mm-hmm. and the storms of you, the storm of my brokenness, my own wounds or whatever. But one of the reasons that that's possible for either you or me is I know that you love God more than you love me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know that I love God more than I love you.
Right.
And it doesn't diminish our love. It actually multiplies it by a million, because then our love for him animates our love for each other. It becomes a movement of the Holy Spirit in our union, from our physical intimacy, the marital embrace, mm-hmm. to each correspondence during our day, our meals together, our ministry, the way we speak to one another and we speak to others, and we love and serve our kids and love and serve those that have been entrusted to us. It's all by God's grace, because of our dedication to prayer, not because we're holy, just because we persevere in prayer and he's holy. It's all animated by the Lord.
Yeah, not because we're holy. It's interesting. You reminded me of a conversation with my brother, Dennis, and I wrote about this in my book, Into the Deep. And we were talking and he said, do you pray every day? And I said, every day. He says, every day. I said, every day. He says, every day. And I realized what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, Dennis, you don't understand. I don't pray because I'm holy. Because he's kind of figure out, well, how could he do that? Mm-hmm. I pray because I'm not. And going to prayer every day isn't an act in any way of pride. It's an act of dependence. It's an act of recognition that I can't make it without him. I can't.
That we are his children.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we are his children.
I don't have any ability to function.
Yeah.
Unless my compass gets reset every morning to true north, mm-hmm. and my heart gets reoriented to what's most important.
Yeah.
When we get back from the break, this is sets the groundwork for the divine intimacy secret, really. And when we get back from the break, we'll talk to you about that secret and continue exploring what it means to have divine intimacy in marriage.
Amen.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will, titled Finding Peace in the Storm, with commentary by Dan Burke.
Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. Stephanie and I are talking about our journey to divine intimacy, really. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way of saying it. Journey to Divine Intimacy. That's a great name for the series, I think.
Yeah, Journey to Divine Intimacy. You know, the marriage retreat is ascent to oneness. It plays on the word oneness with one another, but it's through the oneness of God that we achieve oneness with one another.
If this content's appealing to you, head out to spiritualdirection.com/events, and you'll see our upcoming Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreats, whichever, depending on when you listen to the show, there'll always be one up there of some future event. So the Divine Intimacy Secret, which before the break we talked about prayer as the foundation. Why don't you give them a rundown of the divine intimacy secret?
If you go to any psychologist, you know, marriage therapist or whatever, they're going to tell you that there's four elements, you know, to a marriage. There's, you know, communication, there's the relational, physical, the relational friendship piece. Mm-hmm. There's the physical, the sexual piece, and then there's the spiritual. They will focus over and over and over again on communication. You got to learn to communicate. You got to learn to communicate.
Which is good.
Which is very, very important, really, mm-hmm. because if you're lacking in human formation,
yeah.
which is a huge problem, what does that mean? It means if you did not learn how to communicate in healthy ways growing up, if you grew up in homes where, you know, the MO of the father was to explode in rage and anger, that was mine. The MO of the wife was to respond with punishment and silent treatment and, you know, you're not doing what I want, so I'm going to disappear. So one disappears, the other one rages and explodes. And then there's the problems of, you know, all the things that
all
are related to that,
all kind of
variations. You can see the opposite of that, where the woman is usurping the, you know, the role of the male, and the male is disappearing and turning into a very emasculated shell of a man. You know, you see it all in marriages, but you have learned how to communicate as an individual through the experiences of growing up. You know, how did you relate to your mother? How did you relate to your father? What was the relationship between them? How did you relate to your siblings? How did you learn how to talk? Did you have a voice? Did you not have a voice? I was told children were to be seen and not heard. I had no voice growing up. And that was incredibly destructive to me. So that became a huge trigger for me. You know, all those things, right, become part of our MO of how we communicate, how we learn to communicate. Yes, absolutely. Those things have to be addressed. They have to be undone. They have to be healed. They have to be adjusted. But our argument in divine intimacy and marriage, in this how to become one, is not that you address the communication first.
We do talk about it.
We do talk about it. It's very important. Not to try to fix the sexual piece first, not to try to fix the friendship piece first, but rather to fix the spiritual first.
Yeah.
Because as it were, you know, each of us are like this exquisite Tiffany lamp. We have a particular design. We have particular colors that shine through when the glory of the Lord shines in and through us, right? If we do not have a spiritual base, if we are not, as it were, plugging into the Lord, we are like a lamp that's not plugged in. We're not fulfilling our purpose. We don't shine. We're not being animated by the electricity of the Holy Spirit. We do not have the Lord coursing through our veins. We are, as it were, spiritually dead. It's so hard for people to understand. And I'm so grateful in many aspects that I came to my conversion later in life, because I was mature. I was older. I was 38. And so I remember very well what it was like to be spiritually dead and what it is to be spiritually awake, to be plugged into all that the Lord has for me. I remember thinking, I'm fine. And I was like the walking dead. I could function, I could speak, I could do things, but it was completely surface, completely shallow. I was moved and animated by my emotions, reactive. If I felt, therefore it was true. If I thought, therefore it was true. And I would just follow whatever whims or thoughts that were coursing through my mind, through my wounds, my hormones, whatever it was, right? And that was how I operated life. And also realizing that I was mimicking the behaviors of my childhood, you know, that I was working out my own wounds and I didn't even realize it. Well, when we do that in the course of marriage and we don't have any spiritual base, then we have no self-awareness. We're wrecking ourselves. We're self-destructing, destroying others around us. So we have to have the spiritual base first. We have to plug into the Lord. And what's beautiful about that is when the wife does that, there's progress made. You know, when the husband does that, there's exponential progress made, because he's the, he is supposed to be the spiritual head of the family. He carries a greater weight in a marriage. When those things go right, then there's going to be growth. But when both the husband and wife get that right and just start, you know, in any way possible, and we give, you know, thousands of resources on how to get moving. When we start to do that as a couple, we both make progress. And as a triangle, as walking up the sides of a triangle, you can understand that if one progresses up, you know, they're getting closer to the Lord. If the other progresses up, they're getting closer to the Lord. But as they both progress up, they're getting closer to one another. You know, it's just the dynamics, or the basic geometric truths, that if you're going up the sides of that triangle, you're getting closer. The sides are getting closer to one another as they progress towards the apex, which is the Lord. So we argue that the divine intimacy secret is, if you get the spiritual right, all the other pieces start to exponentially get better in relation to your yes, to the size of your yes, right? Grace starts to flow and animate the other parts of your marriage.
Yeah, I think you've done a good job of summarizing that. If we were to dig another layer deep and ask the question, why? So what we're saying is, if you get the spiritual right, what does that mean really? Well, it means that your sacramental life is sound. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
You know, it's interesting, because I was giving formation to these priests and speaking about how, you know, good priests, one of the biggest mistakes that good priests and good people make is that they assume that people they're speaking to are way more healthy than they are spiritually. Yeah. It's a huge problem, because I've seen it. I've had so many priest friends. Of course, we do so much formation. I always see it. And that is, it's just this assumption that, well, I said it once, and so everybody gets it because they're good people, or they know, or, you know, whatever. And so they don't.
No.
They don't. The assumption, it is so dangerous to assume, for instance, that people understand why they should come to confession, mm-hmm. or they even understand what a valid confession is. You know, I guarantee you, you know, we have only, 30% of Catholics who attend Mass regularly believe in the Eucharist, right, as it's understood and taught by the Church. Well, I guarantee if you did a survey of confession, as an example, you'd end up with better than 90% not understanding what
the
it really...
The power of it.
Yeah.
The power of it, right?
And fundamental things like, if you don't have a firm purpose of amendment, you have a problem. You're mm-hmm. abusing the sacrament. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means you have to have a plan for when you exit out of the confessional, that you don't repeat those sins over and over again.
Yeah. And I would even argue, Dan, to that, because I know how important that is. And I know you speak on it often, but I would even say that most people don't even understand what you're talking about when you say that, the majority of Catholics,
right?
The idea of having a firm purpose of amendment. So, you know, we have this, I'm going to use this example. I know we're short on time.
Yeah.
But we have a priest who's just gotten this huge influx of a Hispanic community, and most of them don't have even the basic sacraments. What is he doing right now? Is he talking to them about theology? Is he talking about, these lofty ideas of, you know, meditation or whatever? No, he's getting down to the base core of what needs to happen. Your marriages need to be convalidated. They need to be blessed in the Church. Your children need to be baptized. You know, you need to engage in regular confession and in the Eucharist. You need to come to adoration. You need to start studying Scripture and praying. You know, so he's setting the basis, the building blocks on how to build that wall so that you can get high enough to see the Lord. I heard a priest one time said that each one of those prayers and all of that is like building a wall that you're climbing on, like a tower. And if you climb high enough, as you build on those sacraments, those basics of the faith, then you can see the enemy coming a mile away, and you can choose the path of the Lord. So
my point in all of this is to say, back to the question of why is it that prayer is so important foundationally? It's because if you don't pray, meaning you don't speak with God on an intimate level, I'm not talking about vocal prayers, which are very important. Mm-hmm. Those are prayers that somebody else has written. But if you don't pray on a heart-to-heart basis, which means you don't spend time with Jesus on a heart-to-heart basis, you're not going to understand any of this.
Right. No.
You're not going to understand what it means to know him, what it means to love him. You're not going to understand yourself. You're not going to understand what it means to follow him.
You're not going to have any self-awareness.
Right. And if all those things are true, then you're not going to understand. There's no way you're going to understand how to deal with your spouse and your children in an effective way. I mean, the epistles of John in the New Testament, I always say that the best summary I've ever been able to come up with for that, the main messages is, as you are with men, so you are with God. Mm-hmm. Meaning if you're a jerk to your spouse or your kids, or you're out of control in this way or that way, to pretend that your relationship with God is any better is a lie. It's a self-deception, and John clearly states it, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the opposite is also true. As we truly are with God, so we will be with men.
Yeah.
And so the divine intimacy secret is getting right with God, so that we have the power, capacity, insight, wisdom, fortitude, all the things that come out of relationship with him and the sacraments, in order to be properly ordered to what it means to be in a marriage that honors him, and a marriage that thrives and has purpose and good, all of that. So with that, we're out of time.
Okay.
So we're going to continue the series.
Okay. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.